worship you, to praise your holy name, to give you all the glory, all the honor, all the praise that is due to you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Today, I'm going to be teaching on a subject about our Christian roots. And the message that I'm going to be teaching is on the book of John, chapter 4, verse 19 through 22. John chapter 4, verse 19 through 22. That Bible verse, 19 through 22, it says, the woman said to him, "Sir, I perceived that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worship in this mountain, and ye said that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." Jesus said unto her, "Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews." So let me read again verse 22. "Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews." So Jesus is talking to this woman, and he said that, let me just paraphrase, "You worship what you know not what, or you don't know what. We know what we worship." So we must know what we worship. That's what Jesus is saying. "For salvation is of the Jews." Let's close our eyes this morning. Let's pray that God give us revelation in our spirit. Gives us revelation in our high level thinking, in our wisdom, in our spiritual level. Not just human knowledge, but in the spiritual level, the spiritual ground. God, we humble ourselves before your word, because your word is truth, is the lamp unto our feet and light unto our path. Teach us this morning as we open our hearts and our minds to receive your word. In Jesus' name, put your hands together and say, "I want to grow in the knowledge of Jesus." Amen. Amen. You may have a seat. My objective with this teaching is to establish a connection between Christianity and Judaism in a sense of a New Testament and Old Testament, and to promote an understanding and strengthen our faith in God. Today we're going to talk about a little bit about roots. So we all have a root. Somewhere is the place where we come from, the place that you come from, the place that you were born, the place that you grew up. It affects you in a very deep way, from your birth until all your life. The roots are your very foundation, where you came from, where you were born. For example, I came from Brazil, and in Brazil, I had to speak Portuguese. I was raised in that neighborhood, and I always carry all the things that were injected in my personality, that all the things that influence our, as far as we go, in our roots, where we were born. We all have that. And we are in a church that we have people that come from all over the world, we have almost 200 countries represented in our church. We have people including Jamaica, Colombia, Haiti, China, Russia, Canada. And we all come together in this place to worship the Lord. This is wonderful. And as we all come from a different place, we don't choose the place that we were born. We don't choose our parents, our relatives. We don't choose our first neighbors. We just have to accept it and live with it. As we come to, like I came to America, and I had to adapt it to the American culture. Even though I still have the Brazilian culture intrinsically inside of me. You can tell that by the accent. And many things, and many of us, even though we try to assimilate a different culture, different language, we always carry that root. Amen. And as Christians today, born-again believers, amen, we must also learn in the spiritual way, as Christians, our roots, where it is based. Where is that place that Christianity came from? Where is that root that was laid in the Old Testament? Because we have the New Testament and the Old Testament, but they all are part of the God's word. The Bible is one book. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. And the Holy Bible is only completed by the Old and the New Testament. The Old Testament is God dealing with Israel, the children of Abraham. The New Testament, we have God dealing with the church. And we need to combine them and to understand God's word. Amen. The Bible is only complete with the Old and the New Testament. As Christians, we have that root. And we're going to understand our roots today. Amen. Christians start becoming indifferent to Judaism. But in the beginning of the church, we noticed that all the apostles and the very first Christians, they were Jews. Jesus Christ, he is a Jew himself. And there is even a car sticker that says, "My God is a Jew carpenter." In the beginning, the book of Acts, as we read, even those first believers, they even thought that in order for someone to become a Christian, they had to be Jew first, including they believed that you had to be circumcised. And this was a big discussion that was among the apostles, whether all the new believers had or not to be circumcised, in a sense that they had to first become a Jew in order to become a Christian. And we had heard lessons about how God wants us to be circumcised in our hearts. Amen. Not the physical circumcision, but the circumcision in our hearts. Hallelujah. Praise God. And we also see that after Jews in Jerusalem, they start persecuting Christians because Christianity was spreading really quick. And many people were converting and coming to Christ, coming to the knowledge of the truth. And the power of darkness start trying to stop that. And the Jews start persecuting Christians. The apostles turn to the Gentiles. And we see that how Peter had this dream, and he saw many animals in his dreams, and an angel appeared in his dream and said, "Kill them and eat." And Peter said, "No, Lord, I would never do that." But there later on, he found out that was from God, that he was supposed to go to reach for the Gentiles. And we also read in the Bible about Paul's call to the Gentiles, and he started traveling all the area called the civilized world, in the area of Macedonia and Italy, all the area. He started reaching for the Gentiles with all the power of the Word of God and the Holy Ghost. Amen. And the Word of God, it really teaches us to reach for all people. Start in Jerusalem and reach for all people. The Old Testament deal with the nation of Israel, but not only with them. Today, God wants to deal with His church. And as we can see in Genesis chapter 28, verse 13 through 14. It says, oh good, oh, we have a PowerPoint presentation. You can go back. The first presentation says, salvation is from the Jews. So a teaching about our Christian roots by Brother Vieira. And John 14, chapter 14, verse 19 through 22. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. So as you can see, the next one, you see the Old Testament is God dealing with Israel. And we see the New Testament church, which is God dealing with the church. And this is a good way for you to put it, how it comes together in the arrows, and we are in the middle. And God wants us to be one people in His eyes. And praise God, hallelujah. In Genesis chapter 28, verse 13 through 14, the word says, and behold, the Lord stood above it and say, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land thereon thou liest to thee will I give it, and to thy seed, and thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. And thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee, and in thy seed, shall all families of the earth be blessed. Hallelujah. Praise God. And I put the nation of Israel in there, because this is the call they had for the children of Abraham, promised them that land. Now, the call for the church is much bigger than that, because Jesus is coming back, and He has the whole world, not just a piece of land, not just a piece of land, but the whole world, amen, when Jesus comes back. And that is our goal, because that's the God's goal, that all men come to the knowledge of the truth. We all worship Him in truth and His spirit. Hallelujah. Praise God. God made a covenant with Abraham to bless his seeds. It's important that we learn that the seed of Abraham was expected to come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Unfortunately, many of them rejected. And because of the rejection of the Messiah, the children of God, of Israel, were placed under the curse of disobedience. However, it's important that we developed a love and appreciation for the Jews. The Bible, the Old and New Testament, came from the Jews. And Jesus is coming back to fight the armies of the world, the false prophet, and the Antichrist, and to save His people in the battle of Armageddon. And we know that He's going to be fighting for the Jews in the area. So we want to be on the side of the Lord. In Genesis, in verse 12, verse 31, it says, I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all people on earth will be blessed through you. So I put in there the globe with the whole world being blessed by the Jews, by the nation of Israel, by the God of Israel, by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As we relate and appreciate Israel as our root, we must also consider some of the teachings of the Jews. Today we're going to go into the oneness of God, the Passover, the Feast of the Tabernacle, and Yom Kippur, and how these feasts, they related to the plan of salvation that we have. Amen? First of all, let's look into the oneness of God. In King James, in Deuteronomy it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." There was never meant only to the Jews. That is meant to all Christians, all of us, to all that the Lord shall call. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. This is very clear, and we shouldn't have any problem with it. That established doctrine. And one of the most important characteristics of Jews worldwide is to believe that God is one. This is the basic, the foundation, the very foundation of Judaism. If anyone wants to convert to Judaism, this is the very first doctrine that must be upheld despite everything else. The whole story of Judaism for centuries is grounded and rooted in the conception of only one God. By the way, invisible. There are hundreds of Bible verses depicting the concept of God as being one. The oneness of God is crucial aspect of Judaism. Through the Old Testament, we see how the children of Israel, they were constantly warned against visual idols and the concept of a plurality of deities. The oneness and invisibility of God is engraved in the heart of Judaism. And that is the single cause of the death of Jesus Christ. Why did the leaders of the Jews crucify Jesus? Because Jesus made himself to be as God. This, in their mind, was absolutely unacceptable. They were deeply offended. Obviously, they were blinded by their own pride and self-righteousness, which is another preaching. But try to reason with me. The nation of Israel had already been captive many times, and they had suffered many persecutions, attacks, destructions, specifically because of their idolatry. They turn away from the knowledge of one God, the God of Abraham, the God of Jacob, the God of Isaac. Since the slavery in Egypt, the times of the judges, the prophets, the kings, the taking over of the Assyrians, the Babylons, until the Roman Empire control, the Jews, from many generations to generation, had a story of struggle to keep their faith in only one and invisible God. So, Jews, leaders, they got it. There is one God. They probably finally got it. Is one. The Lord our God is one. Now comes Jesus into the scene, claiming not just to be another prophet, not to be just another anointed one, but claiming to be the manifestation of God in the flesh. And we know that he is, because in Colossians chapter 2, verse 9, it says that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. Jesus is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. For in him dwell all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. To call the name of Jesus is to call God himself. As Jesus was God manifested in the flesh. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16 it says, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justifying the spirit, seen of angels, preach unto the Gentiles, believed in the world, receive up in glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Paul was in the leadership of the Jews. He was a devout Jew. He witnessed the stoning of Stephen. And he was commissioned to the task of arresting Christians. And Paul was going to the road to Damascus. And he had this vision. He fell from the horse. And he asked, who art thou, Lord? He specifically asked, who? Who art thou? Or in our current English would be, who are you, Lord? In a sense of, who are you? He was confused about the identity of that one God. And it's amazing that God replied to him, I am Jesus. In Acts 9, chapter 9, verse 5. Also, when we read about Thomas, the doubting Thomas, when he realized that Jesus had risen, he proclaims Christ to be both my Lord and my God in John chapter 20, verse 28. Hallelujah. And we also see in Philippians chapter 2, verse 10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow of things in heaven and things on earth and under things under the earth. Hallelujah. Praise God. In John chapter 14, verse 6 says, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father through me. It's because Jesus is the Father. Amen. Now I want you to reason with me. Imagine if Jesus comes to the leaders of the Jews. And he's there in a courtroom. And the leaders of the Jews ask him, who are you? Because that's the question that the leaders of the Jew ask him. Tell us, who are you? Now picture with me. If Jesus would have said, I am one of the person in a Trinity. You see, there is three persons. I'm the Son. So Jesus would probably be dismissed as a lunatic. So the single cause of his going to the cross was because he made himself to be that only one God. Put your hands together. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. In Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6 it says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now as we're going to take a look at Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is one of the Jewish feasts and celebration. Paul said in Colossians 2, 16 and 17 that all these Jewish feasts and celebrations, they are shadow of the things to come through Jesus Christ. And though as Christians, we might not celebrate these holidays in the traditional biblical sense, as we discover the significance of each, we will certainly get a great knowledge of God's word and improve our understanding of the Bible and deepen our relationship with the Lord. Yom Kippur, or the Day of Atonement, is one of the most solemn and important day of the Jewish calendar. In the Old Testament, the Day of Atonement was the day that the high priest made an atoning sacrifice for the sins of the people. This act of atonement brought reconciliation between the people and God. After the blood sacrifice was offered to the Lord, a goat was released into the wilderness to symbolically carry the sins of the people. This scapegoat was to never return. Yom Kippur was the only time during the year when the high priest would enter the Holy of Holies. So one day out of the year, the priest would go into the Holy of Holies. He would go into the innermost chamber of the temple or the tabernacle to make atonement for the sins of all Israel. Atonement means covering. The purpose of the sacrifice was to bring reconciliation between man and God. This is a feast that they can find in the Old Testament. The purpose, let us review, the purpose of Yom Kippur is to bring reconciliation between people, between individuals and God. According to the Jewish tradition, it is also the day when God decides the fate of each human being. For Christians today, is the judgment. We see that Jesus said that in John chapter 3, verse 18, for God sent his Son into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Are we following? Amen. The purpose of Yom Kippur, in the Christian perspective, Jesus, he is the sacrifice. He is that lamb. That's a feast, and it's you can find the details of this feast in Leviticus chapter 16, verse 23, 26. Also in Numbers 29, verse 7 through 11. And the New Testament fulfilling of Yom Kippur is in Jesus Christ, and it can be found by reading the book of Hebrews, chapter 8, 9, and 10. Right before Jesus died on the cross for the sin of mankind, he cried out, "It's finished," in John 19, verse 30, which signified that Jesus Christ had completed and finished the work that the Father had called him to do. It was no coincidence that the veil in the temple was torn in two. The moment that Jesus Christ died, it's not a coincidence that the veil was torn apart and was open. The Holy of Holies were open, because that's a sign that God had done that thing. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus, for he's the perfect sacrifice. In Matthew chapter 27, verse 50 and 51, when Jesus had cried again with a loud voice, "Yield up the ghost," and behold, the veil of the temple was rent from the top to the bottom, and the earth did shake, and the rocks rent. Hallelujah. The New Testament book of Hebrews, the writer describes how the old covenant with its tabernacle offerings and sacrifices was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Yom Kippur is a day of reconciliation, when Jews strive to make amends with the people and draw closer to God through prayer and fasting. And this is the day that for us as a Christian, Jesus is the fulfillment of that celebration. I praise God. Let's take a look on the Passover now. The Passover is another very important Jewish celebration. Many of us remember the stories of how Moses delivered the Hebrews from Egypt. The Passover means the angel death was passing through the children of Israel that were in Egypt. It's important to relate what happened in Egypt with our lives nowadays. The Passover is, God told them that the spirit of death is going to pass through the children, through Egypt. And God told them to sacrifice a lamb and take the blood of that lamb and paint the outside of the doors of your houses. Because the spirit of death is going to go throughout Egypt. And whatever house has that blood painted outside, the angel will not go to it. They will be allowed to live. But if all the houses that did not have that blood painted outside the house, they would have their firstborn dead. But let's go a little bit on, compare we today with the Hebrew children in Egypt. They became slaves. Just very much like we become slaves in our world today. Slaves of our work. All the children of Israel did was work, 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 work. Which is not very different from our lifestyles today. Even I'm guilty of it. But all they did was work, work, work. And we are walking into a new slavery, a modern slavery. You only work to pay the bills. And it's never enough. And you get a job, you get a part-time, and you get another job on the side. So my point is, we are enriching Pharaoh, the kings of this world, because all we do is work to pay bills. But we must have the time to praise God. We must make a time to say a prayer, to come to church, to read the word, to fellowship. Moreover, the deliverance of the angel of death, as much as delivered from the Hebrew children from Egypt to the promised land, they were told about a promised land, from Egypt to the promised land. So God wants to deliver us from this world to the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. More evidence we can find that Jesus was crucified during the Passover. And many Christians don't know. I said that based on me because I just learned that when I first started joining the Pentecostal church. But I didn't know many things. It's very important that we learn, that we relate that. Jesus was died during the Passover. And Jesus said that, say, during this time, Jesus said, this is my body, and this cup is the New Testament of my blood. In Luke chapter 22, verse 7, 19 and 20. Because during Egypt, all the Jewish people, they were in Egypt. They had to eat the lamb. God told them, eat the lamb, get the blood, put outside the door, and eat the lamb. And Jesus is the lamb of God. And Jesus said, eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. Amen. And so it's so obvious that Jesus is their sacrifice. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the book of John 1, verse 29, Jesus says, Paul writing John 1, 29, the next day, John seen Jesus come unto him and said, behold, the Lamb of God, look at that, which take away the sins of the world. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. And there's another thing. When Moses told the children of Israel to kill one lamb, was one per family. One per family. Each family had to have their own lamb. Now, in Jesus, we are all one family. Woo! Jews and Gentiles, church, reason with me. Jesus is the lamb. So look at this. In Egypt, was one lamb per family. That's what the word says. Each family had their own lamb. And now we have Jesus as our lamb. So we are together. Hallelujah. Well, we are embraced as one family. One family. There is no Gentile. There is no Jew. God is embracing us as one family in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. God is wonderful. He loves us with unconditional love. He's calling the world into one household. One household in Jesus. Praise God. And now we're going to move to the Feast of the Tabernacles. Oh, the Feast of the Tabernacles is another big Jewish celebration. And honestly, I didn't know. So I did this research, and I was learning while I was doing this. The Feast of the Tabernacle, it occurs 5 days after the Day of Atonement. It is in the book of Exodus, chapter 23, verse 16, chapter 34, verse 22. In the book of Leviticus, 23, verse 39. Judges, chapter 21, verse 9. Also, Deuteronomy 16:13, 1 Kings 8, verse 2 and 11, 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 3, Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 14, Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 29, and Ezekiel chapter 45, verse 23 and 25. Okay, now the tabernacle speaks of the day. They celebrate the tabernacle. The tabernacle is when they left Egypt, they were walking in the desert. And God was with them. And God told them to build the tabernacle. The tabernacle were the place where God was the physical evidence of the presence of God with them. They had this tabernacle. And it's very meticulous the way it was built. God told Moses to build that portable tabernacle. And God was dwelling among the children of Israel. And they could physically see the evidence of God leading them. During the day, they had the cloud. So they look at the cloud and they had to follow the cloud. Amen? And as today, we need to follow the cloud. The cloud is not following us. You see? We need to follow the cloud. Amen? So the children of Israel, during the night, into the darkness, they had the pillar of fire. They had to follow the pillar of fire. Amen? So this was the visual sign that God was with them. As of today, we need to look at where the fire of the Holy Ghost, the fire of the presence of God. You come to church and you get into the fire of God. God doesn't want us to be just warm. It's not just like a warm feeling. God wants us to be in the fire for Him, for His name. And look, where is the fire? And seek after the fire of God that was going to lead us through the darkness of this world. Amen. And that is the Feast of the Tabernacle. All the Jews celebrate the Feast of the Tabernacle. And moreover, not only is the presence of God among His people, but also God promises that we will become the tabernacle of God. Because Jesus said, "Behold, I'll destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days." He was talking about Himself. He is the temple. But not only He is the temple, but He's calling us to be the
temple of God. We to be the tabernacle. Amen. In the desert of this world. So the Apostle Paul says that we are the living tabernacles. Because this is just a building. Look. This is just a building. If we are not here, it's not a church. We are the living church. The walking, the portable church. Remember the portable tabernacle that the children of Israel had to build in the desert. It's the same today. We are in the desert. This world is a desert. We are the temple of God. Amen. And God, He is going to feed us with the manna. And we reach for the rock and it's going to come out water. God is the one who feeds us through our walk in this world. We are the tabernacle. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. As I conclude today, Jesus is Jew, and we know that you worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. It's essential that our spiritual learning are fundamentally rooted in the holy word of God, which is the Old and the New Testament. First, we need to believe in one true God, Jesus Christ. We need to take upon our young keeper. Jesus is the perfect lamb. Then, we need to take our Passover from this world to the kingdom of God. As the Hebrew children was coming from Egypt to the promised land, we come from this world to the promised land. Amen. For that we need to cross the Red Sea, which is a representation of the water baptism. And Red Sea, red as being the color of the blood. We need to be baptized in the blood of the Lamb. And the blood is going to purify us. Then we move on to our feast or tabernacle. We become the tabernacle of God, filled with the Holy Ghost and power. Hallelujah. Praise God. According to Acts 2:38, receiving the Holy Ghost, the promise. Let's stand, if you will. And there's a final thought. We are different from the Jews because they have a calendar. A calendar time to rejoice on these celebrations. But we can have them at any time. Hallelujah. We don't have a calendar. Anytime is the best time. Today is the best time for you to do your Yom Kippur. Today is the best day for you to do your Passover. Today is the best day to do your feast of tabernacles. Hallelujah. We can repent and be baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost at any calendar day. God is always ready. Are you ready today? Let's pray. Lord, we want to thank you today. We want to be ready for the day and the hour that we don't know, but you know. Help us, oh God, to be, oh Lord, closer and closer and closer to you, to do your will in every second of our lives and please you in everything we say and do. Help us to walk in righteousness. In Jesus' name we pray and we thank you. Amen. Put your hands together and praise God. And you have a 3 minutes break.